Yes, the highly anticipated A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Get the Beyond Meat Burger at all Regina, Davidson, and Moose Jaw locations. And our hotline is brought to you by Great Plains Realty, proudly selling Saskatchewan's finest farms. Call Mike or Shelley, Jen Austin at 481-5574. With a couple of Grey Cup champs here in studio, Chris Best and Mike McCullough. I'm Michael Ball, taking your calls at 936-6262, in-town toll-free, out-of-town 1-866-767-0620. My question for the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable listeners: which team made a statement today, Winnipeg or Saskatchewan? Think about it for a minute. Which team made the statement? Let's go to Gord. He's our first caller. Go ahead, Gord. Gordon Calgary, and I'll start, Gord. Which team made the statement, Winnipeg or Saskatchewan today?
Well, I guess you could say both. One for a positive statement, one for a pretty negative one.
Yeah, I think our offense is in witness protection, missing in action. Anyway, go ahead, Gord. What do you got to say about Caleros?
First of all, I think being shut out in CFL is absolutely embarrassing.
Yep.
And there's lots of blame to go around today. Receivers, like all season, can't catch. Moore had his worst game as a pro. And to my point with Zach Caleros, those two picks that he threw today were absolutely horrific. Those were high school picks. And he, for the amount of money this guy makes, that's what makes this so frustrating. We're wasting a championship defense on this guy. We have such a great defense, and our offense just cannot get points, and that starts with him. He makes north of $400,000, and he's got 9 TDs and 13 picks. And he was absolutely embarrassing tonight. And he just, his give-a-crap level today was a joke. It was just at a zero, and I'm just so sick of this crap. Every week, this guy trotting out and can never get points. Like, I'm tired of it.
All right, Gord, thanks for the call, man. That's a good start.
I think that should be our only call.
By the way, everybody was asking me if Sheldon's going to be on. Sheldon is not on. I got in contact with him. He's up north at a mine working, and he hasn't seen a Rider game in 6 weeks. He saw the score and said, thank God I didn't watch it.
Right, so good for his health,
then. There'll be no Sheldon calling in. You know what, though? He raises a good point, Gord does. The give-a-you-know-what factor didn't look like it was there. It looked like, honestly, it looked like the guys were cold. I'll go to one play in particular. Well, two. Trey Mason coming out of the backfield. I hate to pick on one guy. Looked like he wanted to do anything but catch a football. And number two, there was a blitz. I think it was Santos Knox coming off the corner. And right before on the replay, you see Mason trying to warm up his hands. He's holding his hands like he's frigid on the... And then there was a snap, and he goes over there and just totally whiffs on the block.
Yeah.
A lot of these young guys, they're not used to that weather. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
I mean, they have practiced outside here, and it's obviously been cold here. But, I mean, yes, this is how, you know, October, November football works in CFL. Yeah. It's a reality they have to be ready for. And some of these American guys, especially from like the southern U.S., I mean, they're in for a rude awakening if they're not ready for cold, because it's not even cold yet.
Like Kyran Moore's fumble into the hands of the guy there. Mm-hmm. It looked like Mike McCullough, looked like his hands were cold. Like, that's not I know it's a football play, but come on, give me a break.
There's so many things.
Let's start with one positive on the Winnipeg side, because we talked about him on the pregame show. Adam Big Hill's a stud. He was all over the field.
Couldn't be, he had, what, 3 sacks? He couldn't be blocked. He
forced the fumble.
He couldn't be stopped. Yep. He was a one-man wreck. And Loeffler in the back end was just picking off everything. Those two guys alone were just two ridiculously strong forces on the Winnipeg defense.
This is the team right now, and I said it earlier on the week on the Wolf. I said this is a team that's going to play in the Grey Cup against Hamilton. I really believe that. Winnipeg, and they're starting to get hot. They look like the team we were talking about in, you know, the first 5-6 weeks when we were saying Calgary and then Winnipeg. Like, they're coming on now.
Well, Winnipeg has a hard time, like, not only obviously beating us in Regina, so we'll hopefully get that home playoff game, but also they've had not a lot of success against Calgary over the years, too. So, like, I mean, they got to really conquer a lot of demons if they're really going to be that team to go to the Grey Cup. And obviously, I certainly hopefully don't and stumble against us in the Western semifinal there, but we have to handle our business first before we can make that happen.
Now, it's one thing to say you didn't like Kolaros' play, and I agree wholeheartedly. Did not look good. Nobody looked good. Brandon Bridge isn't a quarterback in this league. I don't think Brandon Bridge is a Canadian Football League quarterback. I know last year he looked okay, but he does not. He is not a Canadian Football League quarterback.
He regressed. He regressed so hard that it was like what we criticized him for last year. The start of last year, just like playground football, running around, just trying to make something happen. Like, there's room for freestyling in an offense, but like you really have to operate the system. And he wasn't even trying to operate the system. He's running around trying to do stupid stuff, and I'm taking a bunch of sacks for no reason. Like it's just, and it's frustrating. You could see the old lineman getting frustrated, like watching him like running around getting sacks for like, because that shows up on their stats. You know, they had a great year for sacks so far, and now Brandon Bridge is doing his best to ruin that. So that's it wasn't good to watch.
Alive and talking.
It's got to be tough to block for a guy like that. You never know where he's going to be.
All you know is actually for a guy like that, you just know he's always going to be out somewhere else. And it's like whatever, you know, it's out of your hands at that point.
Whatever. Are we going to talk about all the drops too?
Well, no, we are going to get into that. But I'm just saying, like, this is where I'm going with this. This is what I've talked about. I talked about it on the pregame show, and you busted on me last call-in show. Like, he is making north of $400,000, and who cares what he makes? I get that, except in the sense of this. When you cut back on your receiving core in terms of what you're going to spend, get rid of Bakari Grant, maybe age and wage. Let's face it, they got rid of Rob Bagg because of wage at the start because they thought they had two younger guys to go with. When you get rid of those guys, why get rid of those guys and spend the money on a quarterback of $400,000+? And you've depleted the receiving core. You would have been better off. We had 28 touchdown passes last year between two quarterbacks. We have 9 from our starting guy, and I don't even know how many.
Frustrating. That's
embarrassing. And I'm sorry, Chris Jones, you're not the smartest man in the room. Defense does not win championships in this league. Defense, special teams, and offense win championships.
I would agree, the whole team. I mean, part of the problem there also is there was no Naaman Roosevelt out there, and there was no Jordan Williams Lambert out there today. I don't think it would help Claros too much. He was not playing well at all, but, I mean, we were missing some horses out there. We had a bunch of young guys trying to make
plays. So why is Rob Bagg been scratched for 3 straight games? Why take him on the roster and take him to Winnipeg and you scratch him?
I got no answer for that.
And why? I mean, nothing against Lavoie. We have Lavoie at slot. He's only been here 2 days.
Yeah.
And he's not a slot. He's a fullback.
Yeah. Did I miss something? I know we're 2 years or 3 years removed from it. Rob Bagg at his best year when Naaman got hurt as 800 yards in the slot.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's not going to stretch a defense. I'm not saying that. But is he not going to help move the chains and get us some momentum?
I would think it would. I mean, it couldn't hurt. I mean,
anything's better than what we put out today.
Bailey had his only drop. The only target he had was a drop. Shaw dropped 2 or 3. Kyron Moore struggled.
Shaq Evans,
I think, had a couple catches. Nothing jumped
in. And
out
a couple
me.
Of drops.
But everything, too. I mean, it's even the play calling, like we were saying before. Everything was a 3-step quick game. And you were saying, the O-line was rough. Well, we didn't even give a chance for any 5-step or any routes to materialize above 6 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no deep throws, no intermediate throws. It was all to the sideline and quick slants. That's
and ahead of
was.
The sticks, too. There's not like at yeah, first down yeah. yardage. It was
no,
always there was, before that. You
there
know?
Was no intermediate. There was no digs. There was nothing. It was like 3-step drop, get rid of the ball, or just quick game, snap, throw this quick slant. And it didn't work because we had those picks.
We got lots to get to. You want to call in 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. The lines are open for you. This is the first of a triple header. The Riders had a chance to clinch a home playoff game, but that is still up in the air. They get smoked by Winnipeg 31-0. You're listening to the Rough Rider Radio Network. And this is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Thanks to them for sponsoring the show. And our hotline is brought to you by Great Plains Realty, Mike and Shelley, Jen Austin, proudly selling Saskatchewan farmland. Okay, let's get to it. Gerald in Regina. Go ahead, Gerald.
Yes. Again, I've been frustrated all year. And with the decision to bring Claros in, made no sense to me. I think Brandon Bridge could have been a starting quarterback. He lost his confidence because we brought Claros in. And now we expect him to follow up. I don't know why we can't develop a quarterback. I don't think we have in a long time. And because we have a lot of money, I don't believe in buying players. So I'm losing faith in the Riders because of that.
Well, Gerald, I agree with one point you made. We haven't developed the quarterback since Therrien Durant. I'm sorry, Gerald, it's professional football. They brought a guy in. I can't compete. No, Brandon Bridge technically is not a sound quarterback, and he is sometimes you are what you are. Mm-hmm. I don't expect Mike McCullough to be Willie Jefferson when he plays. I expect him to be Mike McCullough. I don't expect.
I'm sorry about that. I apologize. So what you're saying is Brandon Bridge is the Mike McCullough of quarterbacks.
Yes, exactly.
Poor guy.
So, Gerald, I think I agree with one of your statements. We haven't developed a quarterback. We need to develop a quarterback. Yep. I wholeheartedly agree. Brandon Bridge ain't that quarterback. He's never going to be that quarterback. And if he didn't have a Canadian birth certificate, we wouldn't even be talking about him. Anyway.
How do you really feel, Ballsy?
Thanks for for the call, Gerald. Well, true. The guy's totally regressed.
Bridge earned the chance to be the backup this year.
You played with him.
I played with Bridge, and he had made big steps last year. But this year, it's just been, I mean, he had those chances. He was a starter. Like, he was out there, you know, like and the offense looked terrible. And he came out today and did stuff like that. I mean, like, he had those opportunities. You know, I feel bad for the kid. I was one of his big supporters, but, like, he's really regressed.
I do believe this, though. I do believe that Gerald is right in this sense. He does lack confidence, and I think the coaching staff has taken that confidence away from him because they don't let him play like he played last year.
Well, and they signed him to a deal saying you know, you have an opportunity to be our starter, and then a week later got Claros. So
no, and
but
I agree.
It's like, what? That happens all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah, totally.
That's
and I, yeah, it's the business, and that's a crappy end. But you may be like, oh, I thought it was going to be your guy until you can find a better guy.
but
a week later.
But exactly. I think it goes back to you what you said, Mike. They have. They've really scaled back this playbook. They've really limited what he can do when he goes on the football field as opposed to last year. At least that's how it looks to me. So from that aspect, I agree with Gerald, but he just has not. You got to have a thick skin. You got to be able to handle the pressure. That's why you're getting paid more money than most of the guys on the field.
Especially a quarterback. You can't be a prima donna at a quarterback. That's a receiver thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? With his limited opportunities, he has to try to make the most of it. Even in a bad situation, he has to be ready mentally. He has to be taking those reps. And so when he gets this situation, whether it's through injury or when they're getting shellacked, like, he has to show that he can still run an offense. And it obviously didn't look to that. I'm still rooting for the kid. I like a Canadian kid. I root for him, but you're right. It doesn't look good.
I like him too. Yeah. I don't dislike
him. I don't think you do, Ballsy, but that's fine.
No.
Thanks.
You just mean.
let's go to Brennan in Regina. Go ahead. Brennan, you're on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Well, you guys kind of stole my thunder. I was going to explain that it's at Caleros that stole. That made Bridge lose confidence is the fact that they make him dink and dunk and not stretch the field. Like, he's not a quarterback that dinks and dunks. Last year he stretched the field and he did some amazing things. This year they're like, nope, ball security. And he gets nervous and takes sacks, holds the ball too long, and he's regressing. I blame it a lot on the coaching system. If he has a good coach and a good quarterback's coach, he'll do well.
But let's remember something. Here's another point. The offense that Brandon Bridge worked with last year is not the same offense. Mm-hmm. They have younger guys. They have less weapons. It's not nearly the same offense they had last year.
Yeah, they're not going downfield nearly like they were going downfield. We had all those great receivers last year. We still have Naaman, obviously, and Williams Lambert's been a nice surprise, but we just don't have the horses like we have last year.
Like I said, we have the horses, but they're ponies. They're young. They don't know the game yet, and they don't know how to work together. They don't know the offense. So they're great athletes, and that's what Jones is showing on both sides of the ball. Like, a few years ago, people were commenting on his defense is not. I thought he was a guru because he was bringing in young athletic studs who didn't know the defense. And now he's got that with some veteran presence. And you see what it does, bringing the Charleston Hughes, the Zach Evans, Sam Hurls. Now, if we could do that on offense and have the Bags and a couple other veteran guys come in, then I think they could help mold those young studs that we have.
Mm. Anything else, Brennan?
Yeah.
What else you got? Brennan, are you there? Okay, let's go. Yeah, he's listening to himself on the radio. Let's go to Ryan and Lloyd Mincer. Go ahead,
Ballsy.
Ryan.
Hey, guys, callers, just so you know, Ballsy is not in a good mood. No, so.
Go ahead.
Hey, don't upset him.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing great. How about you?
Not too bad. So, question for you. Do you think, how long is Calaro signed for? Well, he's like got 2 years?
I don't even know.
A couple more years.
I thought
years.
He's got one more year.
One more year
I
after
he's
this.
Got one more year.
Okay. Do you think Mickey Doo will be back next year?
McDo?
McAdoo.
McAdoo.
It's a good nickname. I like that.
Yeah, I think we should call him Mickey Doo, too. Every time we get shut out, he's Mickey Doo.
Yeah. do you think he'll be back next year, even though Chris Jones has faith in him? But, like, watching the game and hearing everyone talk and, like, on Facebook even, when he has crossed his arms, he's crossed his arms for how many games now, watching the offense struggle, then throwing Bridge in, like you said, he's not a complete quarterback like he should be. I don't think he'll be back next year. I have a feeling. I think it's going to be a whole new quarterback rotation. If Claros is signed, he'll stay or get traded. But I think there's going to be a lot of people being pissed off. But
problem is, though, who are you going to get for Claros? Yeah. Who are you going to get better than Claros is what I mean. And what are you going to get for Claros?
Mike Riley's not walking through the door, so we kind of have to make –
Yeah.
We got to build better system for Caleros here. In terms of the coaching staff, though, that's kind of that million-dollar question, like literally, because they're going to have that coaching salary cap next year, and Jones has his 1,000 defensive assistants and everyone on special teams assistants.
Well, I'm sure Jones will just take a pay cut, won't he?
Oh, yeah, Jones, he'll definitely take a pay cut.
This team, I'm going to say it again. This team misses Jarius Jackson as a passing team coordinator. They do. They miss him as the passing team coordinator. McAdoo is an offensive lineman by trade.
Not good at talking to quarterbacks.
He knows the running backs. He doesn't have a relationship with the quarterbacks. We got a new quarterbacks coach in Steve Walsh, who's just new to the league.
Well, I'm also thinking here, we know Jones is the be-all, the end-all management. Do you think Jones has some say in the offense? I do. And I think I have no idea. I'm saying, I think he tells McAdoo, keep it conservative. We will win with their defense.
And I agree with you. Because
that's what I believe.
I agree with you. I agree with you because earlier this season in a press conference, people were asking when Claros comes back, when he comes back, because it's not changing, guys. It's not changing. Yeah. We're doing dink and dunk. We're going to do the same type of offense. So that comes right from the head coach. He built this
head
team.
Head coach, everything. GM, president. Yeah. That's him.
He built this team this way. He wants to play ball control. Yeah. Don't screw it up and rely on your defense. The problem is you cannot win a championship in this league on defense alone. It is proven time.
I believe with this defense, there's a chance. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And I thought what we saw today was when the offense doesn't play pedestrian. No. They play horrible. No, this is what happens. They need the offense to at least carry some weight. Not shoot the lights in, but carry some weight.
What else you got, Ryan?
I was going to make a comment to Mike. You call it pedestrian. I don't think they even left Regina to be honest.
Yeah.
maybe I was overstating. Pedestrian might have been too nice. Right.
I mean, that first throw could have been a pick six easily. That's how we started the game, and just no one cared. There was no fire
the
whole game.
I know Williams Lambert's hurt, and he's a big receiver, okay? Big physical receiver. What happened to – I'm getting rid of Weston Dressler because he's too small and he can't play, and I want to go big athletic the way they're calling and stuff.
Yep.
You know, the Duke Williams type, that was Chris Jones' mentality. And now we got Kyran Moore, and we got Kenny Shaw, and we got these small guys running around out there. Boy, Weston Dressler looked good on this team, and I hate to go down that road, but you know what I'm going? You know where
Kyran Moore is a young guy, but you're right that Shaw is kind of like out of nowhere.
Kenny Shaw has proven maybe he can't catch very well.
Oh. he could have really helped out his quarterback.
That's two games in a row
today.
He's basically dropped like big catches.
Yeah.
And like you said, their Dressler's small, Kyran Moore's small.
Kyran's 21, though, and Dressler's on the wrong.
I get the
age. We all know Dressler and those guys are gone because they weren't his guys. So it doesn't matter
how.
Dressler still has gas the tank. He had gas the tank 2 years ago. He's gone because he is not a Jones guy. Jones is bringing in his guys. And, you know, we lost today, and everybody was happy the last 7 weeks, but. You know,
you
can't go in either direction too far.
Yeah, let's not jump off the
ledge. There's still 10-6, and it
this
was
is like Banjo Bowl too. It's a hard game to win.
Now the question is, as a coach, do you throw this game tape out, come in day one and say, guys, that's a one off. Let's get ready for Calgary, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or do you dissect it and say, this is too late in the season for a one off? What went wrong? How do we fix it? You gotta do one or the other. I don't know which one.
You think so, but I don't I have a feeling we're gonna we played Calgary and BC, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I bet you we'll maybe beat Calgary, then we'll beat BC. I have a feeling that we're gonna end up at second.
After today, you think we're gonna beat Calgary?
We're
Calgary?
Not Calgary.
I like the confidence there.
We beat them last time, but I have a feeling we're gonna lose to them, then beat BC and play Winnipeg in Winnipeg.
We're gonna play Winnipeg here. If we beat BC,
then we get home playoff. Well,
we have to win one of our last two, so we'll play Winnipeg here. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Yeah. It's not that I say we have to be on the ledge. What I'm saying is this. Can we score touchdowns offensively when we need to? We don't need to. All we need to do with this football team, and let's face it, your defense isn't going to score touchdowns every week.
Yep.
And they're not. They're going to have an off game like they did today.
They have been scoring every week.
I know.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I'm not blaming the defense.
We need about 18
all.
Points of the offense every game, which is pretty low. 18 points of the offense.
If this team scored two touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, so 17, pretty much right where I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
they scored two touchdowns and a field goal with the field position this defense gives you. That should be more than realistic in a league that's set up to pro offense.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should easily be able to win with this Rough Rider team. It is an absolute embarrassment, and I would be shocked if McAdoo's back next year. I'd be shocked if he's back. I would be.
It's.
I don't know. Like I said, I feel like not all against McAdoo. I feel like Jones has a big hand in how they call the offense. It's so vanilla. You know, it's crazy. I mean, even when we're down 17-0, we're still throwing laterally across the field, 2 yard gains, 3 yard gains, drop balls, quick
slants. Not
taking
any shots.
There's no shots.
Here's what I think really happens. If you want my honest opinion, here's what I think really happens.
We never get your honest opinion.
I know.
So I'm interested to see. This.
I think when Kevin Glenn was here, he's a 20,000 year vet.
He doesn't care.
No. So with these guys, you got a guy coming to this team with a big paycheck, coming off a really down season. It's kind of teetering whether his career should continue or not. Okay, in Claros, you got Brandon Bridge, who's trying to cut his teeth and make a name for himself. And he re-signed, you're thinking, as Mike said, he was going to be the starter. He goes into this offense, and this team tells them exactly how they're going to run the offense. You're going to look here. You're going to do this. Where Kevin Glenn didn't give a you-know-what. He went in there, and yes, he was a team guy, but he's been in this league long enough. He just grip it and rip it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And that's why they played, and they had the talent that they could play a little more loosey-goosey.
And remember, they all had veteran receivers.
Yes.
Yep. Who knew how to get open. Yep. And be where they're supposed to be.
So this is a self-inflicted wound. They've regressed because they wanted to regress. That's what it feels like to me. Does it not feel like that?
I don't know.
To you?
It's tough to say. Like I said, if Caleros with the same kind of veteran presence on the receiving core, I think he'd be doing better. And I'm not trying to give him away because he played horrible today.
Yep.
I mean, horrible. But I mean, I still think he has the ability, with given the right tools, to be at least an average to above average offense. And once again, not getting on these receivers. They're just young. They don't know anything. Like, but we have Lavoie, who's a veteran guy. He's been here 2 days.
2 days. I know. He's already out there.
You know what I mean? 2 days he's been here. Kyran Moore has played on offense, what, 6 games or something like that?
Yeah.
He's explosive,
like
but I mean, he's 21 years old. Like, we don't have the Bags, the Naaman Roosevelts, the Bakari Grants. We don't have those guys right
that's
now.
That's right.
When things break down, Claros doesn't know where they're going to be. And
exactly.
Therefore, he can't have confidence in where he needs to put the ball.
It got worse after Bladick went down. It seemed like Claros was even like, oh, Lord. Like, they were bringing a little bit of pressure. They were still, like I said, very vanilla. Four-man rushes getting there. But the plays are so quick that they don't even have a chance to get there because we're throwing two-yard hitches and stuff.
We're going
to
talk about the offensive line and the injuries finally catching up to the Rough Riders. We'll get to Jim, Herb, Wally, Jim, and John, and you. 936-6262 in town. Toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. It's the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. The Riders lose 31-0 to the Bombers here on the Rider Radio Network. Well, the CFL triple header started off in ugly fashion for the Rough Riders. They lose 31-0 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Right now, we've got Edmonton taking on Ottawa at Commonwealth Stadium. The Red Blacks leading 9-7. Mike Riley's just completed a pass on the run to Bryant Mitchell for a first down up near midfield as the Eskimos try to keep pace in the CFL's West. The Bombers now 9-7. BC, who plays in Calgary later tonight, is 7-7. Riders had a chance with a win today and a BC win to clinch home field. They'll have to wait one more week. The Bombers stay alive for a home playoff game. We're taking your calls, as you heard the numbers there. This is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable, our hotline, brought to you by Great Plains Realty. I got this tweet at Ballsy72. The Riders just proved, because I'm asking the question here, who made the bigger statement today? Winnipeg. Who made the statement? Winnipeg or Saskatchewan? The Riders just proved how poor their offensive scheme is. Starts with a beat-up offensive line. No one's fault. Poor quarterbacking, plays like he's one hit away from retirement, and a receiving crew that's has the most drop passes I've seen in 35 years of watching Rough Rider football. So the sky is falling. People are choking. But you know what? Everything they're saying about the offense is true. The offense has not been good all year.
Yep.
So
we don't need it to be good. We just need to be okay.
We're not okay.
We're not okay today.
We said last week there's going to be those weeks where they're not okay, and this is what's going to happen.
They weren't okay last week either, fellas. The defense was superb.
Yeah, yep. And that's why we're going to win.
But that isn't going to happen for 3 games in a row. You think good. So? Oh, McCullough.
Listen.
Take off your green goggles.
I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying this defense is so good that they can buck the trend and they could do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying this defense is phenomenal when they're on. Mm. They're off today. They haven't had many games that have been off in 16 weeks. It's been maybe two.
I'd like to know what Jones's message was after the game to the players.
Well, you're saying.
Yeah. I think, what
did he say after the game in the post game?
He didn't say anything because I don't know. He may have said something. By the time we went off the air, he didn't come out.
So he didn't come out to face the music.
No, he didn't.
Well, that doesn't bode well either. That doesn't look good. You can't just you can't come out and talk to the media when things are good, not come out when things are bad. So that's you gotta come out and face the music regardless there, Jonesy.
Well, that's why you're paying. That's why you're paid the big bucks. You're the guy that takes it. Mm-hmm. And that's what Don Matthews, his idol, used to do too. Don Matthews faced the music. Don Matthews,
you gotta face the music.
Sorry, I mean, his job is to walk out there and basically take all the blame, and it was all my fault, you know, like trying to deflect all the blame off the players and get them a chance to kind of get their heads back in the game and get ready for next
week. That's what Jason Moss would do. Jason Moss wouldn't come out and face
No, Jason Moss would be too busy crying in the locker room too long. Like, it's
trying to throw Gatorades.
But
and
I mean,
failing.
Jones, you got to come out. You got to talk to the media. As much as you hate the media when you're playing, you got to come out and talk to them. Sorry, but that's just the way.
And I loved it on Twitter. They were all over us. Some people are like, "Oh, you media," and they listed a bunch of us media. You just want to you be happy the Riders lost. I don't care if the Riders win or lose. To be honest,
I like them to win.
I do. I mean,
you're a Rider fan. You're ornery when they lose.
If they win, I'm happy. But if they lose, it doesn't change my life. I'm not hoping they lose. So I love how the media gets blamed for what? I didn't do anything. I didn't miss a tackle.
I picked Winnipeg to win. I didn't want them to win, but they won. I didn't think they'd win like this.
I picked them to win the Grey Cup, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Let's go to Wally in Regina. Go ahead, Wally.
I was just going to answer your question there about the statement.
Yeah.
I think Winnipeg made the big statement. I think we as fans and you guys following the team pretty close, of course, know what kind of team we had, and we really didn't do anything unexpected. We just came out, no offense like we've seen all year, and hoped that the defense could carry it, and it didn't work. But Winnipeg, I think, showed that Ballsy's a genius, because didn't you say Winnipeg and Hamilton in the Grey Cup possibly?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, are you relative? You cannot say Ballsy and genius in the same sentence. That doesn't work.
I don't know, Wally.
Well, just before Mike goes
Uncle Wally, I told you to be more discreet. Anyways,
I said smart. Don't say genius.
Go ahead, Wally. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just so Mike didn't feel too bad, I was going to say that his bobblehead has just been tearing up my table games.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've been looking great.
I'm hearing good things with that bobblehead.
That bobblehead even misses tackles on your table.
The bobblehead makes a lot of business decisions.
Yeah, no kidding. I was going to say, with Kenny Shaw, I think he's still, he had a horrendous injury.
Yep.
And I think he's still running a little bit tentative and eyes all over looking.
Did he injure his hands though?
That's right.
I'm saying, if you're out there, you're responsible for what you do. You can't blame an old injury for dropping balls 2 years later. You know, it sucks. It's a bad injury. I get it. But like, if you're out there, you're saying, I'm good enough to play and I can do my job. That's the contract you're signing. So, I mean, it sucks you got injured so bad, but that's no excuse for dropping those balls.
Well, I'll agree with you there, but I'm thinking maybe psychologically.
Yeah, you're probably
maybe
not wrong, but like Chris was saying, you can't do that. You got to find a way to fight through it for sure, especially if you want to stay on a roster.
Yep.
That's right, but I've got a question for you. Okay, so Reynolds has kind of hitched his horse to Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're putting in a bid for the 2020 Grey Cup. We've got Coach Jones has extended to 2019. Do we already take the, do we go ahead and renew him for 2020, or are we going to hold off into 2019 to sign him for 2020? Because do you want to be going into 2020, if we're successful with a Grey Cup coming here with rookie coaches, and some of our players will probably leave and follow Jones wherever he goes? Like, we're kind of in a bit of a straitjacket, don't you think, when it comes to who's going to be coaching in 2020?
Problem is who are you going to get? Who are you going to get to be a coach better than Chris Jones? I don't think Chris Jones is a terrible coach. I just think he's forgot that he's trying to win a championship his way, and it's going to be – I'll just sit back and see if it'll be interesting if he can do it his way.
The other thing here, too, is because he's the GM, you know, like there's the saying about the lame duck GM. You know, you can't have a GM going to last year of his contract. You either fire him and get rid of him, or you extend him, because, like, how is he supposed to sign players if he can't even promise he's going to be there himself? So that kind of really complicates the whole –
he should just go to the president of football operations. Oh, that's him too.
Yeah.
Talk to his defensive coordinator.
Maybe just leave Jones's contract as is, extend the GM by 1 year, and extend the president.
That's why it goes back. Wally, it goes back to what Mike was saying when people are bitching about McAdoo in the offense. If Chris Jones is the president of football operations, the GM, the D coordinator, and the head coach, you think he's going to stand there and say, gee, I wonder what McAdoo's calling?
Yeah.
He's not doing that.
I'm telling you right now, like, Jones has his finger in every corner of this organization, even the offense. So you want to blame fully McAdoo? You can blame McAdoo, but you can't put all the blame on McAdoo, because there's no way that Jones doesn't have some say in what's called, how it's called, or how,
yeah,
you know, the game, you know, quarter in, quarter out. I guarantee he's saying, keep it conservative. Don't turn the ball over. Our defense is going to win us games.
Yep, that's
what I believe. I have no. That's what I believe.
So to answer your question, Wally, I'm sure they're still going to hitch their wagon to Chris Jones because there's no better alternative out there.
Mm-hmm. Unless we're 10-6 still, guys.
So yes,
we got our butts beat.
Yeah, why are we firing?
But I mean,
yeah.
We're still 10-6.
Like I said, this is Banjo Bowl number two.
Yeah, let's not line up the firing squad for Jones yet. Like, thanks. We only got 10 wins with 2 games left. Yeah. Damn you, Jones.
Yeah, and they had won 7 of 8 previous.
You know what though? Unfortunately, Wally, I think that Hughes shirt might be getting burnt tonight.
Yeah,
I think that's it. Yeah. For the
thanks
shirt.
For the call, Wally. Appreciate it, man. Let's
take
go.
Care.
Poor Hughesy.
Yeah,
poor Hughesy.
He's done. Yeah. You bring it back to his house and throw it on his front lawn.
Charleston's like, why do you keep throwing this shirt on my lawn?
Yeah. Let's go to Jim and Regina on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, well, I guess we did learn one thing today.
What's that?
We know which offense gives the Riders defense the most problems in the league.
Winnipeg's.
No, the Rough Riders.
Nice.
That's good.
You set him up, Ballsy.
I like
down.
That. That's good.
Give the man a prize.
I am going to give him a prize.
I would say our defense played 2/3 of the game. Our special teams played 1/6, and our offense played the other 6.
Well, you have some different fractions there. I like that.
You really broke
that. You
gotta
keep it all in 6. I think the defense played 4/6 of a game. That just makes it easier for all of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
That's hurting me as an engineer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just talk sports to tell jokes for a living. I can't figure that out. Anyway, Jim, one thing I can figure out, you got yourself a gift card to Taco Del Mar, okay?
Okay. Hey? And when I said that about the Riders, I go back to an old goalie that played for the New York Rangers when they were terrible by the name of Gump Worsley.
Yeah.
And they had him on national TV and they said, Gump, which team gives you the most trouble? He said, the Rangers. And his coach fined him big time.
That's true. Hey, take your significant other, somebody out for some Taco Del Mar. We'll put you on hold. Yes. We're giving Jim that gift card to Taco Del Mar. Now with catering to freshen up any party, get coastal Mexican cuisine from Taco Del Mar, Rochdale, and Eastgate. Let's head back on the phones, though, here. Nevin, just before you get to Jim, let's go to John now in Saskatoon. Go ahead, John. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. John, are you there? John is not there.
He's too humiliated to talk.
It says humiliated on our screen. We're going to take a break, talk to Jim, Herb. Maybe John can call back, and you too. 306-936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620. It's the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Go to McDonald's. Second game of the CFL triple header as the Edmonton Eskimos home to Ottawa. The Red Blacks have a 16-7 lead in the dying minutes here of the second quarter. There's something wrong with that team. Like they're the
with
Eskimos.
Or,
like, oh. The Eskimos. Well, our team today there was, but they've got. They've got talent not to be a last place team.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, they got some injuries problems, just same as Calgary. But like, compared to where they were at the start of the year, here they were a much better team at the start of the year. Now they kind of.
But remember, all it takes is a hot streak leading the playoffs, and everything can change. I mean, we've seen it with Toronto in 2012 and last year. You see with Ottawa. You just got to catch. You know, you just got to get hot at the right time,
as evidenced by Winnipeg.
I think Edmonton, Winnipeg, even BC to a certain extent, Riders, they all have an opportunity to do something if they get hot at the right time.
This team has been walking a tightrope, Chris Best, with that offensive line, and it finally caught up to them today. Dan Clark started the game not on the roster. Brandon Labatt, one issue with a shotgun snap, but no big deal otherwise. Mm-hmm. How did you think Philip Blake played?
I thought he played fine. I mean, they were running kind of a rush four defense, but they're kind of running a bit of an exotic defense. It requires a little more communication. These guys were dropping, guys were coming. You
but
had
not
to make
that
sure.
Exotic.
No, like, I know, but like you have to be able to talk to the guys around you.
It's like, hey,
no one
pass
to squeeze.
Off.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I just watch it because I know Rich. Yeah. I can tell you the calls as they're coming. I know that call, but it's just a simple like pass off. You know, you got this three for these three. You know, it's
But I mean, if you've only done it twice in practice up till now,
like, I mean, that's why I haven't Blake in.
Yeah, but he didn't look that bad, honestly. No. Like, you know, I wish they'd almost run the ball a little more because Trey Mason had a couple decent runs there. But like, as per usual, we abandoned the run far too quickly. So now
we
kind of had to. Yeah.
So now we've got Bladick down.
Yep.
Or Bladick. What they changed their name?
I think it's Bladick.
They changed their name.
Did you play with him?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, he was out. He came. Yeah.
Darius Bladick. Anyway, he's down, and probably for the like, looked like an ACL, didn't it to you?
I don't know what it was, but you get rolled up on. It's just the worst thing in the world, and you got no control. And the fact that he's a tough kid and they had to cart him off means it definitely wasn't a hangnail.
The only reason you say he's a tough kid is because wearing your old number. So
I'm a little proud. I mean, he's doing a good job with my number. I admit that I'm proud of that.
Well,
like,
they report locker room that it was serious. They're saying it's a serious knee injury.
Yeah,
so he's probably
that's not good.
Year.
So you got to hope Clark comes back because
Clark finished the game last week, so I think he'll probably be able to come back.
So if Clark comes back, you can put Labatt at left guard and then move Blake to right guard.
Yep.
Even though Blake, that's not Blake's natural position, right?
No, it's not, because Blake's been a left guard his whole career. But, I mean, Labatt kind of trumps all here. That's his spot. That's his
better than Labatt. But talk about walking a fine line.
They might move Labatt, because Labatt can play anywhere if need be. So they might end up moving him.
I don't think he wants to play right guard, though. He's been a left guard. Labatt's creature habit,
I mean,
you know.
But the thing is with Labatt is, like, he's so talented that, I mean, you'd rather have, like.
Blake's no slouch either, though. He's been on a bad Montreal team for years, but he's a decent player.
Yeah,
he's,
maybe.
You talk about your own guys. And Bag, it wasn't Jones's guy, and the list goes on and on and on. Josiah St. John was. He was his first pick. The first pick that Chris Jones selected as a guy, first overall, was Josiah St. John back in the day. He has not panned out. When are we going to end this Josiah St. John experiment?
Well, he's a free agent after this year,
year. I mean, you can't get on. I mean, we get on Jones for stuff, but, I mean, you can't get on for a bad pick. It happens with every team.
CFL draft's a crapshoot, overall.
They've tried. At least they didn't abandon it, at least. But I think now it's like, okay, if you can't step in now and we need him, if that becomes a case where Clark can't play and we need him and he can't step up to a certain degree, then yeah,
your first round pick, you've been here for 3 years, and they
same offense.
They got a guy from Montreal comes in and starts ahead of you.
That's a big
on
teller.
On like a 2 days practice? I mean, not even a full week
not
of practice.
Even, But I mean, the thing is, if Clark doesn't come back, then they have to play St. John, and now we have to find a sixth little lineman. And if he
Eddie
could,
Steele.
Yeah, if St. John can show something, if Clark can't come back, then that might help his future here.
Mm-hmm. Or a future somewhere else.
Or
you know?
Somewhere else. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking along the lines of Wattman.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Wattman. Same type
Toronto,
of thing. I believe he was a first-round pick, too.
Yes, he was.
The A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Riders lose to the Bombers 31-0. Let's go to John in Saskatoon on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, John. What's up?
I got cut off there before. Something that the phone went dead. This is my second call, eh? But anyways, I'm on there now. I mean, I know we're not going to win every game. I got a few things to say. Anyways, we're not going to win every game, but when you can't even score a point, that's a little bit humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
The defense played better in the second half, but I mean, Winnipeg had it won in the first half.
And, Winnipeg kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit. They were just trying to burn clock and didn't necessarily score.
And the backup quarterback play
a
whole quarter more.
Yeah. And thing on quarterback with Kolaris and stuff, sure. Like, I mean, you made a good point there, Balls, earlier. Well, we've got young receivers, like almost basically rookies, except for a few of them, like Caleb Hawley and Neiman Roosevelt. You know, these guys are going to gel, just like you said, Chris Jones' defense last year. It took four or five games in the season for these guys finally started to get together, eh? On defense, and maybe this thing is, I'm still optimistic, this thing will still happen offensively. It might not happen till the end of the year. It might be next year, but these young receivers might become all-stars and, you know, starting to catch balls and, you
but
know.
But 15 games versus 18 games, if they haven't caught on after 15 games, like, why does, or 16 now, like, why is it two more games, all of a sudden the light will magically turn off and Shaq Evans will be an all-star? I don't know. Like, it's Lambert,
well,
I'm happy
maybe not
with.
Not all-star,
but
maybe more consistent, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. They built their team this way, so we're stuck. This is what we're going with.
If we get Naaman back in.
And Williams Lambert should be back, too. I don't think he's badly hurt.
On the roster, I think that'd be helpful just for veteran. Yeah.
We keep pounding the table for Bag. We should probably admit it's not happening. It's just not happening.
I'm not optimistic, but like I said, if we get Roosevelt and we get Bag and those guys, like, it's huge to have those guys there. Because it'll just, I think, help the whole whole offense. And not say that they're going to start scoring 42 points a game. That's not going to happen. But I think we'd have more consistency and a little bit more success, productivity.
Well, you know, we talked, like, I'm going to go back about 30 years here, 35 years back, the glory days of Don Matthews in BC when they won a few great cups there on defense. Back in them days, I mean, we had Roy DeWalt as quarterback, but their defense carried the load then, and they won a couple of championships under Don Matthews, eh? Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us, but you never know, eh?
Yeah, no.
Get in the playoffs, anything's going to happen.
Well, we're in the playoffs, and we're going to probably have a home playoff game. So, I mean, like Mike McCullough and Chris were saying, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're still okay. Well, we had a bad game, and
we need to vent a bit, but we're still good.
Thanks for the
call. You even look at Calgary last year when Carter had that pick six against Bo Levi Mitchell, and when we slaughtered them right in Calgary. You know what I mean? You can be a good team. You're going to get beaten on any given night. But maybe it's a good eye-opener for Saskatchewan, the way they lost, maybe. Mm-hmm. It might just say, you know, you can't get your hopes up too high. You just got to go out there and play 60 minutes and just give it your best.
Well,
that's my opinion.
They didn't even play 6 minutes tonight. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. Here's something. I hate to bang on the guy.
Lord.
No, I hate to bang on the guy, but check this out. So we have probably the worst offense that you guys have seen since you've been around here.
Points-wise, for sure.
Wow. It was pretty bad three years ago.
Yeah, 15.
Brett Smith was leading the helm.
Was it worse than this?
We scored more points, I think. We could really run the ball that year. That's all we could do. We could run the ball.
It was not worse than this.
Well, maybe, but it was still pretty bad.
So anyway, we have one of the worst offenses we've seen here in years.
It's not good.
Daron Carter is one of the best athletes in the CFL right now, pound for pound. Probably the best athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Led our team in receiving last year. He's not on our team. That should tell you how bad a teammate he is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no,
right? It'd be like you're forced to keep him because he's good. Because he's good because we need him.
That's
how bad of a teammate he was. They had to get rid of him.
We're still 7-2 without him, so we're doing it.
That should end any debate, like, because I'm waiting for a call. Where's Daron Carter?
I know.
Anyway, let's
it'll probably be Daron Carter.
Yeah, probably. Let's go to
Daron Carter.
Yeah, yeah. anyway, let's go to Jim in Ottawa. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
How you doing?
Good.
Where's
man?
Daron Carter?
Yeah. I was waiting for that. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I was prepared for, you know, a little letdown today, but man, can no one on this team catch?
Yeah.
I'd put out a call right now to Bakari Grant. At least he can catch.
Oh, rosters are set now. Trade deadline happened. Rosters are set. We can't bring anyone else in and have them on the playoff rosters. So
this is it.
This is the team where we got to ride with these guys.
This is it, man.
Well, they had time to do that before, though.
Yeah.
Rob Bag can catch, too.
Yeah.
Well, he can, but like we said, Chris just said it. I think we have to go on the assumption that unless 4 or 5 guys go down with injury, Rob Bag's not getting on the roster anymore. I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
I see that. And, boy, the injuries tonight did not look good for the future.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned injuries. That's a good call, Jim. We had, of course, we had Bladick go down. You had Brooks go down. We also had Matt Elam hurt and Zach Evans. I don't know the extent of those injuries.
Yeah, I didn't see Zach go down.
Zach got hurt, and I'm not sure what
Elam
it was.
Down
and
either.
Elam got hurt, too.
Yeah, it's kind of catching up with us. We've been lucky for 15 weeks. It's going to happen.
Yeah,
but.
And I'm wondering about, I think it was Murray, who's a, whatever they call him, swerve or something.
Yeah.
The guy fumbles twice or thrice in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, he was cold.
Can't really do that.
He wasn't prepared for the elements. I think that was obvious. He wasn't. And neither was Trey Mason. They weren't.
Yeah, so Swerve is about .140. I don't think he's built for the elements.
doesn't have a lot of girth there.
That's
to
okay. You know, like I said, he's a young kid, and he's done well. So, I'm not going to rag
and
on
he's,
the,
he's,
on the kid.
He's been out there once now. He kind of knows how it's going to be when he's cold. So this would be a good experience for him to kind of go forward.
This game doesn't diminish the talent we have going forward or the future that some of these guys could have. But they're just young.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. How much did this have to do with a Winnipeg team that's very desperate? They needed to win because
they're fired up.
Never mind. Their playoff hopes are kind of hanging in the balance. So you got that. And you got a Rough Rider team that's playing on 4 days rest. And they're bad. Like, talk about the short week. You played Monday. Just talk about the week that they would have had. They wouldn't have got much practice time in there. Much quality practice time.
It's all walkthroughs. You don't touch us. I mean, you don't really hit that much this time of year anyway. But like, it's all just walkthroughs and talking about things. You don't do many physical reps in a 4 day week. And more importantly, especially if you're an old guy, you feel like crap. Like, you do not have enough time to recover in 4 days. You still have all those same bumps and bruises from the last game, and I get to add on to them with a whole new level of bumps and bruises. You rolled your ankle a bit. It's still going to be bugging you. Like, at this point of the year, everyone's got something nagging. So, like, that's, a short week late in the year is just no fun at all.
You agree, Mike?
two paychecks. So
that is true. the double paycheck. That is absolutely
true. I agree,
true.
But at the same time, this is like the time of year you play football for. Like So, yeah, it's a short week, but when game time rolls around, you're ready to go.
Were you you must have been surprised because you picked the close Winnipeg win.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I thought Winnipeg was going to win, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. But usually there's one or two games a year that you kind of want to throw in the trash, and this is one of them.
What are they? 15-6 with Dressler in the lineup.
15-6 now with Dressler.
That was a heck of a catch by the old timer.
Oh. Yeah, the big guy came through. That's the thing. He doesn't get many. Just having a guy like that in the lineup, right? Like he doesn't get 10 catches a game, but he has big catches and that nice run up the middle. Like that was a great play. I felt like the Winnipeg play calling on both sides of the ball trumped ours as well. Like their offensive scheme, their defensive scheme. Defense a little more vanilla, but overall I thought like they just have like ingenious plays on offense. Well, like, that's just Lapo doing what Lapo does.
Watching the games, he said, man, I'd love to play for a coach like Lapolice. He has you going in different directions. You never know who's got the ball.
I mean, if you had a little Kayron Moore or coming through a swerve, coming through like Dresser did and that run up the middle for like 25 yards and they didn't even really use Harris. I mean, they didn't really have time or an opportunity to use him by the time they're up 31-0. Like, let's start resting our studs. And Harris barely touched it. Nichols had played well, but he didn't shoot the lights.
That's what amazing, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, okay, well, we don't really need to do much more, so let's sit you guys down and let's have LaFrance get some touches, and he did well. So
that may have been the most boring half of football, the second half.
It was boring, the history of
football.
Because the Riders were already on the bus ready to go home, and Winnipeg was already locked it up, so it was basically a preseason half.
Let's go to one more call here before we take a break. Alan in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Alan. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Yeah, hi. The Rider offense is really good at putting me to sleep. It's a my pillow offense. When are they going to get some more excitement in that offense?
Well, this is as good as it gets.
Next year.
We've been watching it this year, and as pointed out, the trade deadline's come and gone, so this is the team. Mm-hmm. This is the roster right now. We can't do anything else.
Does Zach Collaros get to call any of his own plays on his own, all of his plays ordered from the sideline?
They do let him. He does audible at the line of scrimmage. Well, yeah.
I don't think there's a quarterback in the league that calls his own plays.
The kill plays, talking about that, like the kill plays already called. Like he'll have like you already know what like you're killing from this pass to this run. Like it's not like you have to pick which play you're going to that second play. So it's really. He gets to choose whether he passes or runs, but still, both plays are called for him.
And even if you could call it, I don't think you'd want to do many audibles because these young guys, it'd be too much for him.
Yep.
You can't just all of a sudden change the whole play on the drop of a hat because he sees something he doesn't like. These young guys would struggle too much with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. You could if you had a veteran guy with a veteran receiver.
Oh, for sure. You could,
exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Who cares what the other three guys are doing because I'm going to this guy anyway. Right?
I mean, they got to keep it simple, but not so simple. They got to open up the playbook a bit, but I understand trying to keep it simple for everybody.
We're going to take a break. Riders lose 31-0 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. This is the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Rough Riders Radio Network. Riders lose 31-0 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and they drop to 10-6. The Bombers improve to 9-7 with their fourth straight win. And you heard the numbers to call. We still got a couple things to give away. We got our Suds Car Wash and our Wisers Player of the Game is picked by Rod and Luke. I say Player of the Game because there was only one player that they picked because there was no offensive player. Let's go to Herb. Let's go to Herb and Regina. Go ahead, Herb.
Hi. I have to say that this game clearly illustrated just how unbalanced we are as a team. You know, we rely on our defense an awful lot and stuff, and our offense they weren't there. So, I mean, some things have to change for sure. I'm kind of concerned about the offensive line and stuff. Is there? Do you think that maybe Chris Jones was a little distracted by all the injuries and stuff? Because it sounded like there was an awful lot of Canadian players that were injured. Now, don't they have to have a certain number on the playing field at all times?
Yeah, you got to have 7 Canadian starters out there, and on our offensive line, we've decided to have 3 Canadian starters, the 3 interior guys. We have the depth right now, assuming Clarkie comes back, that we're okay. But one more injury, and we are in trouble. So you're right; the margin's getting kind of thin right now.
Yeah. He just looked distracted by all the substitutions and stuff that had to go in there, and really couldn't focus on the actual game. But I would call this a definite reset game. I'm hoping that we all look at the game film, force ourselves to look at the game film, and say, okay, well, you know, we got to do this better, we got to do that better. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah, it was. Do you thanks for the call there, Herb. Do you burn this game tape? Everybody says we burn this game tape. Do you burn this game tape?
You got to watch it once. You have to watch it once just to see, like, there's correctable things out there that it's easy enough to – that aren't major issues that you could let become major issues. But, yeah, you don't dwell on it.
Earlier in the season, yeah, you could burn it pretty quickly. But I think this late in the season, you have to – you do have to dwell on a little bit. You can't just be a throwaway game.
Well, you mentioned earlier, like, is it? There's two ways to go.
And I'm leaning more towards you can't just do a throwaway. This is, we're getting into some serious important games here, and you got to try to at least find some positives and then find look at many negatives and try to correct them.
Yeah.
But you just don't have time to correct them all. So, there's still some component of, okay, let's move on. Like, once you move on, you need to move on. You cannot – you know, day two in practice, be like, well, remember that game? Remember last week we did? No, you got to just move on from it. So once you're done with it, be done with it.
Okay, so here's an interesting stat. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, just how bad has their offense been? They have not had an offensive touchdown in 145 minutes and 30 seconds. That's nearly 2.5 games.
Wow, that's not good.
Okay. Offensive touchdown. That is that. And I think, what's their deepest penetration today? The 40-yard line, 35?
I mean, Lowther's got a big leg, and he had no field goals. So couldn't have been the 35.
I think Holly fumbled around the 40 or so. That was it.
They didn't get inside the 35, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pathetic.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
In the CFL, yeah.
No, that's pathetic.
That is pretty bad.
That is really bad. Let's go on staying with the offensive theme. Go to Landry in Saskatoon on the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Go ahead, Landry.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just wondering if anybody has thought about the time that the quarterbacks that play in Saskatchewan have to throw the ball.
What do you mean?
They have to get rid of it within fractions of a second, where other quarterbacks seem to have more time.
Well, I don't know. I'm watching Mike Riley run around here like a chicken with his head cut off, so I don't know how much time he has to throw. But the only guy I see stay clean game after game is Bo Levi Mitchell. He usually has a pretty good pocket to throw, but he's got the best of everything. Even their backup receivers make plays.
Yep.
Right? It's sickening. They keep losing receivers. I think they planted.
Well, you know what? You guys can say what you want,
yeah,
but when you watch the game, if you have a stopwatch – and you look at Saskatchewan, and you guys talk about the receivers and the quarterback, but you never talk about, when a guy's going to throw a ball and you got a guy coming from the left and the right and then down the center, how do you do it?
Well, hey, we're not saying – I'm not giving a pass to the offensive line.
No.
We were talking about how they're banged up, and I was going to get into two actual other points here with Chris Best because he played at a high level in this league. But yeah, the offensive line doesn't get a free pass either. You're absolutely right.
I thought the O line until today's
played
pretty
but our
well.
Our O line, Landry, our O line has given up the fewest sacks in the Canadian Football League coming into this game.
Well,
what do you mean?
In this game.
Well, yeah, they had a bad game, but they've given up the fewest sacks coming into the game. The offensive line is the least of our concerns.
And the play calling, if you watched, it was all quick, three-step less.
Okay,
three-step
but there are the callers that say, oh, they're running around there like they're, they don't know what they're doing. But, the fact is the reason they're running around is because they have no protection.
Bridge
especially is running around because that's what he does. I mean, I think there's a slight element of truth to what Landry's thinking. I think Claros does not want to get hit at all. I kind of get that sense that he just doesn't want to get hit.
That's what all quarterbacks were like.
Some guys, Mike Riley, perfect example. Like he craves contact. But, like, I think
he
had a couple concussions this year. He's
I'm
a little, I don't know, I don't think he wants to get hit.
But yes, they're running around. I get it. But in a lot of cases.
And for what reason are they running around?
Because nobody's open.
Mm. Well, they don't have time.
I mean, no one has time.
CFL
in general, Ken Austin used to stand behind the quarterback and count 1, 2, 3, you're dead. And, like, he was a very respected quarterback and a quarterback coach. Like, that's the reality. You have 3 seconds, and then you got to get rid of that ball. That's how it goes.
What's that, Landry?
I just wonder if anybody else out there sees what I see. Is our quarterbacks don't have any time, and then when they do throw the ball, they get just knocked. Because it's so late.
The O-line was a little depleted. They didn't play great.
But
up until today, I thought the O-line's been very solid.
You can't play as good.
Landry, yes, I get it. Today they did not have a good game.
No one did.
But coming into this game, the Riders had given up the fewest sacks in the Canadian Football League. How can you say our quarterbacks are worse off than everybody else's quarterbacks when we've given up the fewest sacks?
The game?
Yeah,
like,
it was one game,
okay,
Landry.
Guys, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're done. Let's go to a Marlene. Go ahead, Marlene.
Guys, I told you not to upset Ballsy. Darn it.
Marlene, you know the Game Stars?
I do. There was only one, Eddie Steele.
Good. Congratulations. You win our Wiser's Player of the Game prize package. Okay? Hang on the phone there, Marlene, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, geez. Like, Oh, God. You're done. Good. I'm glad you're done. Like, give me a break.
All right, Landry and Ballsy. That's enough.
But on that note, what did you see from the offensive line? I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Cofield, the left tackle, who's played a pretty good, has been pretty good this season for the most part. There was a blitz off the edge. I think it was that Santos Knox kid. Mm-hmm. Comes off the edge and he smokes Bridge, okay? It was an interception bridge through, but it got overturned because it was a late hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He lets him go. Like, he blows right past them. Yep. How are you supposed to block that up? What are you supposed to do in that play?
I mean, it's kind of a cat and mouse game going there. Like, Richie's showing you seven possible rushers. You only got six guys to block, and they're not all going to come. So you kind of have to know – you kind of have to communicate with the guys around you, and more importantly, get depth, which is something that Cofield didn't get, to kind of let things sort out in front of you. Like, I don't know if this new O-line coach doesn't teach it that way. That was the way I was always taught. You know, if two have to block three, both two set vertically and kind of let the three sort out in front of you and block the interior two. So always the guy who's getting in free is the widest guy.
So
it takes the longest to get to the quarterback.
So Cole's notes, you're blocking inside out because inside is the fastest route.
And get
route.
Depth because that gives you time to recover from things.
So you could chip the inside guy and then get the angle on the outside guy if you had to, right? If you got depth?
Don't block two. When you block two, you block zero. So you got to – that's why you get depth to let things sort in front of you and figure out who's number one, who's number two, and who's number three. And you let number three go block one and two.
I think having, Blue at a position, St. John in there, and a new guy, that doesn't
It's not a good recipe for that sort of stuff. No.
Even if you're talented, which they all are, they haven't played together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, communication's key on O-line, as Chris would attest to, and there just wasn't much. And like I said, the O-line didn't play great, but of all the segments of the team today, the O-line was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, everyone sucked. I wouldn't know.
Everybody sucked, but I mean, I'm not.
They sucked less.
I'm not harping on the O-line thinking, he had no time. Well, the play design, he had little to no time because it's snap, get the ball out of your hands. And secondly, the receivers struggled and the O-line struggled a bit, but.
If a guy's running back to what Landry was saying before he was done with us, he's running around. Well, he's running around in a lot of cases. How long do you expect him to be able to hold the football before he throws it?
Three seconds is kind of all you can ask for.
If the guy's not open, I'm watching Mike Riley run around here behind Bond and O'Donnell. They're all like 6'7". They're big guys. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off too.
Jeez, why are you hating on Landry so much?
I'm just saying. Give me a break. Anyways,
Landry, if you call back, he'll apologize.
Landry you have a mortal enemy now, Landry.
Let's go to Trevor.
Radio enemy.
Let's go to Trevor and Humboldt. Go ahead, Trevor. You're on the A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable.
Yeah, I don't agree with Landry at all there on that one because, a lot of teams have that same problem. It's just one of those games. But I know I harp on this a little bit too once in a while, but guys, like, do you think a lot of these teams are in our playbook? Like, we don't really stretch the field. Like, everything's to the sideline. You know, we run the ball up the guts. It's so predictable. Like, we don't have no misdirection. We have no play action. Like, why is this? Like, are we trying to keep it simple for these young guys?
That's probably part of it. I would agree that our offense is definitely not complicated, and we're not running much misdirection, much. Like, that's kind of – I mean, you watch especially the NFL offenses, the really, like, revolutionary ones, like the amount of misdirection they have and stuff and all the disguise. We don't have any of that in our offense. We're as butt as vanilla as they come. So, no, I would agree. We're not doing the things we should be doing on offense in terms of play calls.
Is that McAdoo or is that
he's calling plays?
Is that the youth or what do you guys think it is?
The youth would be a factor because you got to keep things simple to make sure everyone can execute. But I mean, we're after week 16 now. We've had some time here to kind of go through the playbook and I'd like to see a little more than we're doing, obviously, because today was.
I think you got to open it up now, right? to open up the playbook.
You would think after those terrible Brandon Bridge games, we would open it up, and we kind of did, but nothing revolutionary.
Well, you're hoping by the playoffs to get Jordan Williams-Lambert back, and you're hoping to get Naaman Roosevelt.
Naaman's our intermediate guy. He's our 12, 15-year-old guy, the digs. Yeah.
Let's face it, guys. Claros is a sitting duck back there, and if he's not willing to open up that playbook to stretch the field, because I don't care if you complete a long ball. I don't care. I don't care if you complete it or not, but you have to stretch the field. You have to at least go deep. You have to at least show the defense that you're willing to go deep. They did it once today, and that was on a play where
the busted play.
Was scrambling for his life.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with you, Trevor.
I agree with him wholeheartedly. Yeah. I mean, their free safety Loeffler, both his picks were from 12 yards and in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. He was Robin, which is basically around the 12 to 15 yard mark.
I'm not knocking the coaching. I'm not knocking. anything, but at this time of the year, if you want to contend for a Grey Cup, you got to at least believe in the guys that you have on the field.
Yeah, for sure, Trevor. Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it, okay? All right, yeah, and, you know, on that note, offensively, you look at the offense. I know what he says, defense wins championships. We always hear that, and defense is a big component. But like I said earlier in the broadcast, that's rubbish. It takes three segments to win a championship, and you got to at least be able to put the ball in the offense. We were talking about this or in the end zone, pardon me. We're talking about this off the air. When's the last time a mediocre – an average quarterback won you a Grey Cup? And you and I said the both same year.
Yeah, Calgary 2001. It was
Marcus Crandall.
Crandall and was someone else. Crandall came in. He wasn't their starter.
Crandall was the guy though in the end, and I forget who the
I can't remember who it was.
Who was it?
It wasn't Garcia now because
no, Garcia was gone by then.
But Bo Richter was one of their receivers. Like they had some receivers on that team. They had they could move the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
But they were 8-10, right?
And, yeah, they were 8-10. Yeah. They could get the ball inside the 40-yard line in a football game. Like, this team had 9 first downs through three quarters.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even an average offense. So, for Chris Jones to say he's going to win with defense, he isn't. It's not going to happen. They're not winning the Grey Cup this year. They're not. Unless they can – no, they're not. Unless they can put 2 touchdowns on the board consistently from here on out offensively and a field goal. And like I said earlier, you should be able to do that the way this defense sets them up in field
position.
It'll
be tough, but this defense is so good, they could be the outlier.
You think they're going to do it?
No, I don't necessarily think
if
they're going
to
do it.
If you had to bet the Cassa to Mike McCullough.
No, obviously not. But, I mean, would I – if the odds were good, I might put a little clink down on it.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean – this defense is nasty, and they had an off game. They haven't had many, and they just need the defense, or they need the offense to not turn the ball over, especially not 3 times in the first quarter. And they need to be average at best.
Can you play nasty in this league with everything on the line for 4 games? Because you're going to have to play one of the games to win a whole playoff game.
It's possible, but that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of line up for you. You know, you need some special teams returns there.
This was our fourth game.
But the special teams is always usually pretty solid. They weren't bad today.
Yeah.
No. But we
need some points from somewhere.
Yeah, you need special teams. You know special teams are going to be there. So.
This was our fourth game. Trying to get a 4-game winning streak going. Mm. This was our fourth game. Can you do it? I don't know.
It's going to be very tough. It just depends.
Extremely.
Like I said, it's all – as long as you make the playoffs, who gets hot? Mm-hmm. It really is, man.
And health.
Yeah, hot and health. Yeah, it's just – The defense, they're just so good.
They are. They're incredibly good.
And they were rough today. They were, you know what? They looked tired today. Like on that second and inches with Dressler, Marshall played lazy. It was just straight up. He took a play off because it was second inches. He thinks it's going to be a quarterback, and he got caught.
Like, but that's the thing. I'm not even talking points, fellas. These guys can't even put together drives now to give our defense a break. Mm-hmm. At least give our defense a break. Like, it's embarrassingly bad, and they are not winning a Grey Cup like this. There's no way. I don't care how good they are. The for every 85 Bears and 2,000 Ravens I can give you 20 teams that have won championships. Yeah. Like, give me a break.
But they are those outliers. Like I said, there's those – the Buccaneers in 02, the Ravens, you know, the Bears, whatever. It happens. It can happen. I'm not saying it will.
Well, cut up the Bears eventually, but the Ravens –
I'm just saying, like, when you have that good of a defense, it is possible. And that's how good this defense
is. Look at Mike McCullough,
just
the positive guy.
I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to keep Ryderville happy. Everybody's –
Mike is right. You don't want to overreact too much to one game.
No, it's one game.
The defense is buzzsaw. Special teams are great, and offense has showed that.
Okay,
showed a bit.
No, they've showed a bit.
These last 2 weeks, if we get shellacked by Calgary, shellacked by BC, that's not good. Like. Then I'm like, okay, something is seriously wrong. But let's just see how these next 2 weeks
I'm not
go.
Even talking. Okay, I'll buy what you're selling. And they are great. They're the best defense I've seen since I've been living here watching football. But I'm going to tell you this right now.
2013.
Yeah, no, that was good. They had a couple weak spots. Did a couple weak spots. Did a couple weak spots.
Yeah,
the defense.
A couple. Okay, Dan Butler.
Diamond Ferry.
Yeah, Diamond
Ferry.
John
Chick.
Anyway, so you two boys are on this team right now, okay? You're an offensive lineman on this team, and you're –
well, I'm not even talking to Best.
No,
I'm so mad.
Yeah,
I'm not even talking
to Best. Right.
I'm like,
you're –
I hate your guts.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the
totally.
You're on the defensive side of the ball. You're on the offensive side of the ball. Are you going to tell me – I'll start with you. You're going to tell me you're playing offense for this team right now, and in your heart of hearts, being the smart football guy you are, think you're going to win a Grey Cup with the way you got it set up right now?
you know that a lot of things got to change. I mean, like, this is I remember running off like we've had games like this, and like you run off, you know, defense and offense kind of cross when like you run off, or like special teams with a bunch of defense guys, you kind of cross when you go on the field early in the game. Things going well, a lot of high fives, a lot of hey, get up, you know. When things go really bad on offense and the defense is playing well, you can tell like those guys are running off the field. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to even look at you.
And you must get frustrated.
Oh yeah, and I you know, I'm guaranteeing, because I've been in this situation, I guarantee Jones is going to the defensive meeting room one of these days and this week and saying, you boys got to play better. We are only winning if you guys come with a championship caliber defense. He's basically saying, we need you guys to play top tier for the next six games or we don't win. It's on you. That's what he's saying. Because they all know the offense isn't good. And even Jones is going to say, he might even say it actually, our offense sucks. He's like, I put you boys here. I put you together. You 15 or 18, 22 guys are together because I built a championship defense to win us a championship. Now go win us a championship. Guaranteed.
So the question is this. Can you go farther with an average offense and an average defense, or a super defense and a really subpar offense? I mean, look at some of your teams you played on.
Average and average doesn't get you anywhere in the playoffs.
Yeah, average,
you
tend to not even make anything.
What about 2004 when you guys missed on an 18-yard field goal? What would you consider yourself there? Average and average. You weren't spectacular. You were average and average, and you were one field goal kick away from going to the Grey Cup. You were average and average.
Well, yeah, but the thing is,
you were average and average.
But, you know, maybe overall, but we had the potential both sides to be above average.
Right. You had the potential. You don't have the potential to be above average here.
No, but
you are terrible on
but
offense.
But what you have is a defense that is championship caliber and an offense that is
terrible.
Below average.
Way below average.
Like it varies. We've had some
average performances.
Oh, my God.
You guys are politicians. I love it.
No, I'm just saying. Like I said, I just love watching
defense
play.
Okay, that's the question for the last bit of this show. Can the Riders win the Grey Cup just like this? 9-3-6, 62-6.
Not
losing
31. Nothing.
If they score at least 3 points, I
like it, playing this way, no.
9-3-6, 62-62, toll free. 1-866-767-0620. Take the 31-0 game off the mat. It's a one-off. Who cares? Flush it, as everybody likes to say. Right here, starting this week, Calgary. Chris Best said it right now. We don't get any more players. We can't trade it for anybody. Yep. We can't add anybody. This is who we got. Whoever we put off our practice roster, off our IR, that's it. Will the Rough Riders win the Grey Cup like this with a superb defense and a terrible offense the way it sits now? Call in and let's get your thoughts. Dave from Winnipeg will be up next. We'll talk to him on the other side. A&W Sports Cage Radio Roundtable on the Riders Radio Network. All right, Riders lose 31-0. And you pointed it out here while we were off air, Chris Best. I know it's okay to say flush it away, but that's three flush it away games. You had three wake-up calls this year. That's too many, if you ask me. Calgary Stampeders wouldn't have three wake-up calls in a year.
No, they get one. They usually, and that's all. And then their coaches are so disciplined.
Their wake-up call was last week winning 12-7. That was their wake-up call. They won 12-7.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have three flush them away. Don't you think that's kind of...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. In the last 5 years, who's won more Grey Cups, us or Calgary? We both won one. Doesn't matter if you're 16-2, you go in the playoffs. What happens? What happened last year? They were the talk of the league. They were unbeatable. No, they weren't. Anything can happen. Like I said, get hot at the right time, have decent health.
Okay, so
decent health is an important part there,
it
though.
Is.
And that didn't bode well for the Riders today.
It doesn't bode well for Calgary with the receiving core.
That's
either.
Right. So let's get to the phones here. It's the Great Plains Realty Hotline. Winnipeg is where we go. Dave is who we're talking to. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
I think they up with the young receivers. I don't know why the coaches don't practice with a cold football. Like a couple of years ago, when Miller was coaching, they played Calgary. When it was supposed to rain that day, he played – practice all week with a wet ball.
I remember that. I forgot about that, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. We did.
Miller also brought in the what are you bringing, the shuffle? What was it?
Broomball shoes. Yeah, we all had broomball shoes.
They're amazing.
Yeah, Ken Miller was he was an innovator. That guy.
I like that one.
It's funny.
The young receivers couldn't catch nothing today.
No, they struggled.
They're not used to the cold ball.
Nope.
So I don't know why Coach Jones never got all his players or whoever's off the coordinator and practice with a cold ball.
You know, that's an interesting point, Dave. Only since Chris Jones doesn't leave any stone unturned. He's got
I think we all know he doesn't give a damn about the offense.
Well, maybe you should bring that up to him.
Yeah. Well, I would, but he doesn't talk to the media after they lose.
I mean, there's something to say for that. I mean, like, you want to experience the conditions. Like, I remember Dressler of all guys. Dressler is, like, you know, he's tiny.
Yeah.
And he would never wear sleeves on the week of a game, like a cold game, because he's like, we got to play in this cold weather. I don't want to feel this cold weather before I – Yeah, so there's something said for that.
I wore sleeves one time, my very rookie first playoff game.
And everyone made fun of you.
Never wore sleeves again.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like defensive players don't wear sleeves. I'm like, I didn't know that, so I never wore sleeves again.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. No, so yeah, I think there's something said for that. You know, you want to experience the conditions, you have to play the game in.
You got
to
get out there,
man.
It's like the Polar Bear Club.
Yep.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Let's go to Derek. Derek, now you're driving back to Brandon after the game. You want to answer my question? So my question is, just to reset here, with the roster we have now, a superb defense and a less than spectacular offense, and that's being kind, will we win the Grey Cup?
Not a chance. This is what's going to happen, guys. And the defense, unfortunately, has just played too much football this year. And I think out of 7 or 8 of the wins, you really should only have 3 or 4 wins. But regardless of that, they got the 7 or 8 wins. They're up to 10 wins right now. This is what's going to happen. You're going to lose, going to lose, going to lose. And I don't know if the third game will be either in Winnipeg or in Saskatchewan, but this team doesn't win another football game this year.
Wow, Derek.
Because they have no offense. And to say Claros had a bad game today, just look at the touchdowns versus interceptions, right? Look at the fact that Naaman Rosenfeld, his numbers this year. This is all because there's no quarterback. I was at the game today. Zach Claros did not want to get touched. Never mind anything. I don't even know if he wanted to touch the ball. That second interception to Taylor Loeffler didn't move. He was standing there waving at Zach as Zach threw it to him. He is running scared, and Brandon Bridge won't do it. It'll be a loss, and another loss, and they're done.
Derek. Thanks for the call, man. Safe trip back to right
on. I don't think there's even right. Derek, anybody else want to comment on Derek?
Two weeks ago, we saw a fired-up Zach Caleros. Yeah. Like, he was in the game. Yeah. He was super motivated. And we need that guy back. We really, really need that guy back.
I mean, granted, people are like, his care meter, but what do you want him to do after he throws a pick? Do you want him to go rant on the sideline like Jason Moss? Like, I don't really know.
He has problems with bad body language before, and like, it wasn't bad today, but he certainly wasn't as invested in the game.
Okay, maybe.
It didn't seem as the whole. There was no energy the whole sideline.
The whole team didn't.
The whole team, man. Yeah. Like, the defense, they were missing tackles they don't normally miss. Like, this defense doesn't miss like
they
that.
Look, they the defense missing. Looked like they spent the night in Hooters in Winnipeg, and they're like, you know what? We'll be okay.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, Willie will pick one off.
The whole team was, they were mentally and physically tired, for sure.
Let's go to Perry in Regina. Perry, you want to answer the question. What do you think? Riders win the Grey Cup as they presently sit right now. Just take this game out of the equation. Flush it from your memory. Superb defense, less than mediocre offense. Do we win the Grey Cup?
No, I'm with you, Balfrey. There's no way they can win a Grey Cup with a mediocre, less than mediocre offense. So.
Yeah, I agree. I can't. Mike McCullough says if he had a few dollars, he'd bet on the Riders.
I give a faraway bet. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's.
Yeah.
I mean, we had like the top ranked offense at one point in the last 2 years, but we couldn't win the game, right?
Yeah.
So it's,
All right. Anything else, Perry?
I just wanted to mention that Chris Jones said they were doing wet ball practice this week.
Oh, they were.
On the TV, so he didn't miss that.
Just
our receivers didn't catch on to that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. You're right. They were using dry balls, but Chris was the wet balls were for the defense in case they picked one off in the rain.
He had the offense stay in the bus.
That's right. Yeah. You guys just go do whatever.
We don't need you.
Anyways, thanks, Perry. Take care, man.
I feel like he doesn't even know Zach's name. He just calls him Z.
Well, you know what's fun? Well, last year when he said
16, over here.
Yeah, you. Can you throw it over here?
Last year. Here's a question for you. Do you think guys that are dual role, like Moss in Edmonton, offensive coordinator and head coach, or Mark Trestman, or even let's talk our own guy, Chris Jones. Do you think he gets so, because he's got, as a defensive coordinator, and he's got his hands on everything. Do you think he gets so enamored on that side of the ball that he really loses sight of the whole team?
I mean, probably sometimes. I mean, he wears a lot of hats. You're talking about not only that, like you know, football ops, everything. Like that's he's only one guy. I know he doesn't sleep and all, but like still, like that's
he's wearing four hats. Sometimes you see a guy wear two, like
and those are four full time jobs too.
He's
all
the
four
OC
of them.
And head coach, yeah. But I've never seen DC head coach, GM, and president. Like, it's got to be unprecedented. Like, it's unbelievable. Even I think Dunnigan in 03 had three job titles, but not all four.
Yeah,
like it's, and then we know how that works.
And when, yeah, super well for Dunnigan. Yeah,
it didn't work out well.
It's insane. Yeah, it's just too much.
Let's go to Ian. Ian wants to answer the question. So, Ian, Grey Cup or what?
No.
We're a positive bunch here in Regina.
Well, it's a fair question.
Can you help to refill my Weiser's bottle?
We already gave the player the game away. Sorry, but I will. You know what? I'll put you on hold. I got your Suds car wash. Okay.
No. Hey, I do want to make a comment.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, Montreal and Toronto have given up over 400 points this year. The only other team with this stellar defense is us. So, we've given up over 400 points, and we're the worst in the West. Now we got an injury on the offensive line. We got an injury to a couple of backs, I believe, defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a hell of an offensive lineman for a young guy, too. We don't have any receivers. I agree with you guys. Like, they're probably good receivers, but they're not seasoned. I hate to say it, but like, and I know it's a short week and we have to travel and all that stuff, but BC, and like, I can see us beating Calgary just because they're maybe as banged up as us, but BC and Winnipeg are coming on in the West. I actually believe that. And that guy from Brandon, like, if we went 0-3 in the next three, it wouldn't really surprise me. Like, I don't think I've ever been less confident of a 10-6 team in 45 years of watching these guys.
that's not an outlandish statement. Ian, hang on the phone. We got a Suds car wash for you. Okay?
We sucked today. I don't want to overreact to one game though. We've had some suit. Like, I brought up earlier 2010 Banjo Bowl. We got spanked and we made the Grey Cup that year. And like, we were close. You know, like, so like. One bad game in Winnipeg where we traditionally play bad and had all these factors against us. Yeah, we sucked. We sucked out loud today. But, like, that doesn't mean we're the worst team ever
Let me paint your picture. You guys were 12-6. Were you on that team, the 12-6 team with the broken legs? You're on that team. You were 12-6.
Well, we were 6-0 to start, so let's put it
in context. 6-0, then 6-6.
Okay, but you were 12-6.
And
you guys had Michael Bishop as your quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Going into that, it's same type of scenario. You had an offense with a quarterback that was and
I have a lot more faith in Caleros than I have in Michael Bishop. I experienced those.
Caleros is cleat play quarterback than have Bishop back.
Might as well be throwing punts back there.
Would you have more faith in this team winning a Grey Cup than that team that was 12-6 hosting a home playoff game?
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
God. Oh, yeah. We knew going in, Bishop, we were hooped.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in your heart of hearts, you're like, yeah, we can do it if we just do this, and this. But when we lost, it wasn't like, oh, my God, I can't believe we lost at home. We sucked.
Like, Bishop was not only bad, he also would just give the ball away all the time.
He was horrid.
Horrid. Four picks was a normal day for that guy.
What, do you have eight turnovers in that playoff game or something?
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, one more call before we take a break. George, go ahead. George in Saskatoon on the Great Plains Realty Hotline.
Hi. I'd like to comment on the all the drop passes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, there have been so many drop passes where the ball is right there in the breadbasket. But these guys should know you catch the ball with your hands. And they're trying to trap it. And how many have bounced off the pads and off their bodies? Yeah.
Well, George, easier said than done for this reason. When you're catching a ball when it's minus six like it was in Winnipeg there, right around there, it is like catching a brick. And guys are more likely to catch it in their body, and that's why it bounces off. And here's the other thing. If you don't catch it in your hands and you catch it in your body and then you have a guy on your hip pocket, it just ricochets off when he hits you and it goes off. And that's what they do. They're young guys from America. They're not used to the cold weather, and they're catching the ball in their body. That's human nature.
Well, I've played football in freezing rain where the grass was icicles, and you still tried to catch the ball with your hands.
Well,
because it will automatically bounce off your body, especially when it's a brick.
You try, but I'm just telling you what happens.
At least we got that experience today instead of during a playoff game when it's minus six out.
Anyway, George, what?
Well, no, this is not the first game that they've been dropping the ball because it bounces off them. I mean,
no, he's talking about playing in the cold, though.
Yeah, he's talking about playing in the cold, though, George. Chris was talking about playing in the George, in the cold. Talking about playing in the George, yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Hey, we've had drops this year. There's no doubt about it. It's part of their maturing, their young guys. But, yeah, you got to catch it in your hands for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thanks for the call, George. We're gonna take a break, and we're going to get to Jim, Scott, Pat, and you were answering the question. Right now is the Riders sit. Take the game out of the equation. We got a great defense and an average offense. No, less than average offense. Can the Saskatchewan Rough Riders win the Grey Cup like this? Take a few more calls on that. But time now for our play of the game, brought to you by the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. That's right, for our play of the game, Nevin. Let's roll the tape. Yes, that is the play of the game, the national anthem. After that, everything went downhill.
I stopped watching after that. How'd the game go?
Not bad. They didn't lose by close score. Anyway, that'll do it for the play of the game, brought to you by the Rusty Shovel Landscape Shop. When we come back, we'll have more of your calls. Riders lose 31-0 on the Riders Radio Network. Rough Riders lose 31-0 here, so we're about ready to wrap up the show. We'll take a few more of your calls here. Our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Thanks to Mike and Shelley Jen Austin for their support. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you want to answer the question. Riders, the way they sit right now, the roster they got, great defense, not so great offense. Winning the Grey Cup or no?
Well, I don't think that we've got a chance. I really like to think that our offense hasn't been that great all year. Special teams, defense, fine. But I missed the game today because I was at work. Sounds like we missed the game completely. But that's too bad. This game isn't something that we can hang our hats on and say the season's over. But I truly, even without having seen it, it's on my PBR at home. I may delete it. I may watch it. It's hard to say. But I really think that it kind of reminds me of the Reggie Slack games when we went into Winnipeg and I clobbered.
Yeah,
I'm kind of worried. I've always been worried about our offensive play calling all year. So I'd like to think we're going to the Grey Cup, but I hope it's not just because we had to buy tickets. Okay.
All thanks, right, Jeff, thanks for the call. On the out-of-town scoreboard late in the third quarter, Edmonton's rally. They were down 16-7. They lead 24-16. They're trying to keep pace with Winnipeg and BC here in the West behind the Riders, who are in second. Let's go to Scott and Regina. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. How do you know it's the middle of October? The Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup, and all hell is broke loose in Ryderville. Oh, my God. People, yeah. It's one game. They won, what, if it was 7 of the last 9?
Yeah, that's what it is now, yep.
So everyone just freaks out about everything. But Landry, yeah, he's right on cue on that. He's probably got it all figured out anyways. But do you think something's wrong with Polaris?
Well,
injury. I mean, when he throws the ball, he just doesn't have that finish on it. That he's almost like his shoulder or something is still messed up. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I know, Chris, what do you think? It does look like he doesn't want to get hit.
It does look like, he got a pretty bad concussion earlier this year. Like, he's taking some big hits, even though we have given up the least amount of sacks until today. Like, yeah, I don't think he wants to get hit. So maybe, I mean, at this point, everyone's nursing something. Maybe he does have, ribs or a shoulder or something. Something's bugging him. Maybe. Not for sure, though, but it's possible.
And you didn't ask me the question. Yeah, no, they're not going to win the Grey Cup.
I don't think it's, so either.
Actually, Mike McCullough is the only one in Saskatchewan that thinks they're going to win the Grey Cup.
Once again, hey, guys, listen up.
Hell is frozen over if Mike McCullough is the only positive one here.
I did not say they're going to win. I say there's a chance. That's how good their defense is. Yeah. I feel like they have a chance.
I know, man. They're playing fantastic. But actually, when they got down by 3 touchdowns, I thought the game was over for sure because I said there's no way the defense can score 4 today.
No, they can't. Yeah. They could barely get 2 but in the
game. If we rewind a week ago, I guarantee there was a lot more people who thought we could still win.
Yeah.
You're gonna base your whole prediction and your whole premise and thought of this team off of one game.
No, said last week, you and I were talking.
Yeah.
I said last week they wouldn't win like this because last week they were set up with a short field 3 times and got nothing out of it.
Mm.
This offense has been terrible all year.
Yeah, they have not been good.
The only problem today is everybody was terrible.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
We've won 10 games.
Yeah, like you're probably right. Chris Jones will go into the locker room and say to the defense.
No, he won't go into the locker room. He'll go into the defense.
Yeah, what is wrong with you guys? You got to score 2 touchdowns a game. What's wrong with you guys? Like, and that's ridiculous to me.
Chris Jones is ripping them a good one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
Thanks for the call, Scott. Over. Take care, Matt. Whatever. Let's go to Pat and Cam.
Everybody's just like, whatever.
Let's go to Pat and Camsack. You want to answer the question, Pat? So, are they winning the Grey Cup or what?
They're going to win the Grey Cup. I'm the only one that agrees with Mike.
Okay.
But they have to come up against an average offense.
Yeah.
And this was the first time ever that Roddy and Luke couldn't pick a game, like an offensive game star.
Yeah.
So I believe it should be given to the both of them, and they should split it.
Rod and Luke. Okay, good. Yeah. Pat, so you basically say they need to come up with against a mediocre offense.
An average offense.
Average offense.
Not even mediocre.
Yeah. Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. So, Pat, basically what you're saying is you're trying to be positive, but you know they won't win the Grey Cup either.
I'm being positive. No. I'm not trying.
It's appreciated, Pat.
Pat, it is appreciated. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Chris in St. John, New Brunswick. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah. Hello there.
Hi.
I'm way out here in the East Coast, and I'm hoping for a Halifax football team, but that's not coming too fast.
That'd be great.
The Riders might have an offense before they have a Halifax football team. Anyways,
what I want to say is that I think we're going to hit that Grey Cup and we're going to give it a good fight. I don't know if we'll win or not, but the two new guys they put in from Montreal were awesome. I mean, Lavoie caught that ball twice today and he was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good trade. I like the trade.
Yeah,
Blake's a good veteran.
And the offensive lineman, he's going to fit right in after all these injuries.
Absolutely, yeah. Right passport. He's a good player. You know, as I said, he's a bit expensive, but like he earned it. Like, he's a good player for Montreal. He just kind of ignored because he was in Montreal.
Yeah, and you guys, Chris and Mike, you know, I appreciate your comments because, you know, you're ex-players and you're solid with the team. And Ballsy, you know, you're good too, but I appreciate the football players.
That's good. I appreciate it.
Even though
too.
I think Ballsy might be right more than we are. And according to, was it Jim? Ballsy's a genius of some sort?
No, it was Wally. Uncle Wally. Old Uncle Wally.
Oh, I knew you were a genius right from the get-go when you're a little whippersnapper.
Anyway, thanks.
It was Uncle Wally, too. No doubt.
Uncle Wally's had a few.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, Uncle Wally's a little bit of a problem. Let's go to Dean.
Oh, you're so smart, Michael.
Let's go to Dean in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Dean.
The Riders aren't winning the Grey Cup if their offense doesn't pick up.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think? Because Riley's a free agent, and so is Claros. You think we can make a trade with Edmonton to get Riley?
Not a chance.
Well, if they're free agents, you're not going to be able to trade, and Riley ain't coming.
Well, you can trade him before they like February 1? What's the day?
Yeah, it's February.
Yeah,
February
15th.
Have a trading
February 15th. Window, have a negotiation
February 15th
window.
Is the free
agent. Yeah. So, like, technically, even if they're incoming free agents, you could trade them before them. But so you could do something like that, but Edmonton is not letting Mike Riley walk out of there. Not a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They'll give him the sun and the moon. There's no way. And I heard that Mike Riley wasn't a Chris Jones guy.
And all they really want, I'm sure all Riley really wants, is get rid of Moz. So
yeah.
Who do you think will win that battle, Moz or Riley? See you, Jason.
See you, Jason.
Have a good one.
Yeah,
bud.
Good. Yeah, good one. Yeah. Hey, Dean, anything else? Okay, thanks, Dean, for the call. We appreciate it. Dean was listening to us. And
we lost Dean.
Well, Dean was listening to himself. Let's go to Lauren and Prince Albert, our last caller of the day. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, hi. Kind of disappointed a couple things here. I thought Brian Jones should have been out there a little bit. He made a couple good catches last week. Never seen him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I don't understand, how come, like, there's 10 seconds left in the second quarter, why don't they throw a Hail Mary? If Bridge get out there and he can throw 50 yards when he's running, the Claris don't have the arm strength. Like, as far as I'm concerned, they're not going to win anything with Claris. He's just no arm at all, and he's slow. Anyway, that's a couple questions I had there.
Yeah, I mean, when it's 31-0, what do you got to lose? You might as well just throw it up and see what. But I guess it's one of those things. What anything that could go wrong would go wrong. So let's just get the heck out of Dodge and get to the heaters 10 seconds faster. I guess the way they're looking at it. But I know what you're saying there. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take a break and be back to wrap up in a moment. Rough Riders 31-0 losers in Winnipeg. You're listening to the Rough Rider Radio Network. And it was brought to you by A&W. Get the Beyond Meat Burger at Regina, Davidson, and Moose Jaw locations. Our hotline brought to you by Great Plains Realty. Mike or Shelley, Jen Austin at Great Plains Realty. Buying or selling Farmland, call 481-5574. Want to thank our other sponsors, our prize sponsors, Hit the Shower, Suds Car Wash. They are the, experience the Suds Car Wash difference. They're Regina's premier full-service car wash. Also, the takeout of the game brought to you by Taco Del Mar and our special blend by Weiser's Players of the Game, as Weiser's been a proud partner of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders for a number of years. Saskatchewan's number one Canadian whiskey. All right, just before we wrap up, some closing thoughts from you two guys. It's a Flush'em game again.
Yeah, we sucked. We sucked really bad. Offense sucked especially bad. But we have won 10 games this year, so I'm worried. I would say I'm worried that offensive performance inspires no confidence at all. But I'm not willing to say we're donezo just because of this one game. I think that we still have hope.
I think we have hope. I just don't see us winning a championship as this setup relates to. Mike, but you'd put $5 down somewhere in Vegas or 10 or something.
Like I said, if you give me two options, I'm going with them not winning, but I'm definitely not completely discounting them. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be shocked.
Like I said, and I don't like basing things off one game. When I talk about quarterbacks in the futures, I like to see – a resume. This is one game. If we do this again in the next 2 weeks, okay.
This was the James Franklin of football.
Yeah,
games.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, even though he threw 292 yards the other day, but anyways, so let's see what happens next week in the fall. Basically, last two games of the season, we can kind of have a better sass. But don't freak out over one game, and don't get too excited over one game.
To thank our network affiliates, GX94 in Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM, 900 CKBI Prince Albert, 1050 CJNB in North Battleford, 102.3 FM. CJNS in Meadow Lake. Your flagship station for Rough Riders football is 620 CKRM. Once again, our final score, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 31, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders nothing. We'll be back in action on Saturday when the Riders take on the Calgary Stampeders. And before we wrap up, you got your wine and whiskey night that night.
Yes, 1 week. 1 week to the 6th annual Rough Rider Alumni Whiskey and Wine Festival. So there's still a chance to get tickets. Ticket sales have been going super well, and thanks to everyone who bought one. But there's still a chance to come join the Rough Rider Alumni. Exalted alumni like Mike McCullough and Scott Schultz are going to be there. So you can pick their brain, hear all about how positive Mike is these days. We're at the Grand Hall Hotel. Go to riderville.com for all the details, and all proceeds go to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Moose Jaw.
So you can watch that game with the Rider alumni, hopefully a Riders victory in Calgary. We'll be on the air with the pregame show that day at 2. Until then, we'll talk to you later.